Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as we open your word. We pray that you would speak to us. Help us to focus on you this morning. Help us to listen to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Jeremiah is speaking about religion in chapter 7. And I think religion is on everybody's mind in this world. Some think religion is pointless, and they think about it like that. Others put a huge amount of emphasis on religion. I was watching a movie the other night on Everest, and the amount of religion that the people in Nepal have as they're approaching the base camp on Everest. They go through one of the Buddhist temples there, and they all offer prayers. If they don't, it's a sign of bad luck. For some, religion is massive. Others place a huge amount of emphasis on rituals and on the practices of religion, while others completely ignore it altogether. Jeremiah was a prophet, a priest actually, who was called by God to bring God's word to the people of Israel in a time where they were far from the ways of the Lord. He was commanded by God to rebuke them. He was commanded by God to warn them. And in fact, as we saw last week, as we looked at chapter 1 and Jeremiah's call, Jeremiah immediately then went off and began telling the people of Israel what God had in store for them. How the people of Israel had forsaken God. How they had been unfaithful to God. How Jeremiah had spoken to the people about how not one of them was righteous before God. And how God would now bring Jerusalem under the power and authority of a foreign nation. It's at this point that Jeremiah has now been told to go and stand at the entrance to the temple and to preach to the people. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open at Jeremiah chapter 7. It's always great to have them open so that you can follow with me. So that you can see if what I'm saying is what God's word truly says or not. So have a look at verse 1 and 2 as we have a look at this great sermon that Jeremiah preaches in the temple. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. In other words, like we said last week, this is not Jeremiah's word that he thought, I think it would be a good idea to share this word. No, this is God who spoke to Jeremiah and says to Jeremiah, go and speak this word. And in fact, the Lord says, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Now, where is the gate of the Lord's house? And I think that's important that we understand that, because otherwise Jeremiah could just be standing anywhere. The Lord's house is another way of referring to the temple. Remember the temple that was built in Jerusalem? This current temple that Jeremiah was commanded to go and stand at was the temple that Solomon built, which was the most majestic of all the temples ever built. And Jeremiah was commanded to go and stand at the main entrance to this temple. He's not standing at some obscure side entrance to the temple where maybe a handful of people come through. He's standing at the main entrance of the temple where the masses of people would pour through those doors to get into the temple. It's also probable that the timing here where God commands Jeremiah to preach to the people in the temple was at one of the big Jewish festivals, which would have meant that there were more people than normal in the temple. If, in Christian terms, we would say, as is often the case, at Easter or Christmas, where we get more people than normal into our services. It was perhaps an event like that. And here is Jeremiah standing at the main entrance to the temple as people are coming to one of these big festivals, and he's preaching to them. We've also got to understand that at this time, there was only one temple. And so all the Jews would come to one place. It's not like our Christian communities today, where just within a few blocks of us there are six different churches. It wasn't like that at all. This was one church for the greater area. And in fact, the whole province of Judah would come to this one temple. In other words, the words that Jeremiah is giving to the people here was heard by many from the greater area, probably mostly the entire territory of Judah. And God gives Jeremiah this message. So, I want to have a look at this message this morning. Three comments that I want to make on it as we have a look at part of Jeremiah's message this morning. The first comment is a false sense of security. You'll see here Jeremiah's first point in this sermon temple, or this temple sermon. This verse 3b, he says, "Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place." In fact, Jeremiah repeats this refrain a few times in verse 7. He says, "Then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave to your forefathers." You see, what was happening here, friends, was that the people of Judah were trusting in the mere fact that they had a temple, the temple of God, in their area. You see what Jeremiah says and what the Lord says through Jeremiah. Do not trust deceptive words and say, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." You see, the people of Jerusalem had this false idea that because God's temple was in their city, and remember what the temple represented. The temple represented God's presence with his people in this world. They had the false understanding that because they had the temple here, that they would be spared from any attack of any sort. It was almost as if they thought of this temple as some sort of divine insurance policy against bad things happening to them. No doubt people recalled the words of God to King David, where centuries before God had said to David, "You will continue to rule this this place forever and ever, and I will be with you always." And so here the people are saying, "Look, we have God's temple here, nothing bad will happen to us." The people of Jerusalem would therefore flock into the temple each weekend to claim the promise of God's protection upon their lives. But then, as Jeremiah reminds them, they would then go off and live lives completely independent of God's laws. Look at verse 5. "If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with one another justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place." And then verse 8. "But you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless." Do you see what Jeremiah is telling the people? If you obey the Lord your God, who, by the way, gave them Jerusalem in the first place, who has done work for these people already, then, when you obey him, he will protect you. But if you don't obey him, no amount of religious behavior in the temple on the weekend will save you. Now, in many ways, friends, things are no different today. Sure, we don't have the temple, Solomon's temple here, or even a temple of any sort in this country. And so we can't claim that. We don't offer sacrifices to God like the people in Jeremiah's time did. But friends, how often do we trust religious practices and think, hey, I was in church on Sunday, God better do something good for me this week? We think that just by coming to church once every now and then, that we earn God's favor with us. I've spoken with people in various churches around the years that I've been attending church, and some will say, you know, I come to church on a Sunday because it just gives me a good start to the week. It's almost as if they are saying, I come to church so that I can win God's favor for this week, and then I will have a good week. Our divine insurance policy, if you like. We think that if we partake in the Lord's Supper, then we are set for the next month. Then we can leave church and do what we want. Because, well, I did take part in the Lord's Supper. I did remember that Jesus died for me. And now I'm free to do what I want. That, friends, is religion. That is not Christianity. What we do in church is meant to be a fulfillment of the life that we live to the Lord the rest of the time. This is not some blanket thing that covers over all our wrongdoings and everything during the week, giving us free rein to do what we want. That is what Jeremiah calls here deceptive words. It's a false sense of security. But more than that, Jeremiah tells the people that secondly, they have a false sense of forgiveness. Again, the people thought that if they attended the temple once a week, or as often as they thought was necessary, that they would be safe. Just look at how they lived, in their case, from Sunday to Friday. Remember that they used to go to temple on the Saturday. Verse 9, have a look there. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, or you'll see the footnote there, swear by false gods? Will you burn incense to Baal and other gods? And then verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house and say, we are safe. See what Jeremiah is saying? You go out into the world from Monday to Friday or from Monday to Saturday. You live like you want. And he lists some serious misdemeanors here, serious crimes. Look what it is, stealing. Now we must say, I don't steal. But don't you? We all steal something somewhere along the line. It might be somebody else's time at work. The corporate world tells you that the most stolen item in the world is a pen. Jeremiah says here, will you steal? Will you commit adultery And you might say, well, I don't commit adultery. I've been faithful to my spouse for the last 40 or 50 years. But what about when you look at other people lustfully? Jesus says that is committing adultery. What about perjury or swearing by false gods? What about worshipping other gods? Again, we might say, well, we don't worship other gods. I don't have any idols in my house. Oh, right? You don't? Did you give up your quiet time to go and watch rugby? Did you give up your time of prayer because there was something else on your mind that you had to do? Perhaps those things become your idols. And then on Sunday we come to church, we've dressed up smartly, we've brushed our hair for the first time in that week, and we come into church with a smile on our face, and we pray to God, and we go off and we think everything is good and happy. Do you see what Jeremiah is saying here? We do all sorts of things that we shouldn't. We follow God, or we think we follow God, and then we leave church, and we go out, and we do our own thing. Within our own community, there are those that come to church on Sunday, and then go off during the week at someone's funeral and sacrifice a goat to the ancestors. And then we expect God to honor us, to protect us, to keep us safe. Notice what the Lord says through Jeremiah to this sort of attitude, verse 10 and 11. You come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things? Has the house of the Lord become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching. Unfortunately, Christianity has become known as very carefree towards the sin of the world. We know God forgives our sin through Jesus' death on the cross. And so we become very blasé about sin. God does forgive us, yes. But He wants us to live our lives in honor, in love, towards what He has done for us. In fact, Paul picks up on this whole idea that Jeremiah is talking about here, living one life from Monday to Saturday and living another life at church on Sunday. He says, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, what then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, shall we go on sinning so that we might experience God's forgiveness more and more and more? Paul answers his own question and he says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And even here in Jeremiah, God says to the people, if you really change your way, in other words, if you put your sin to death and deal with your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, the widows, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, verse 7, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave to your forefathers forever and ever. So friends, don't think that by coming to church every week, that means that you can then live the life you want to live during the week with disregard to the Lord. Because although God has promised to look after us, you'll notice here in Jeremiah, but everywhere else in the Bible, it comes with a condition that you obey Him. In fact, all God's promises come with conditions. We like to take God's promises out of context. We like them to use them to say things that we like to hear. But invariably, when we do that, we take it out of the context of where that promise is, the conditions attached to that promise. You've heard little children, the parents might say to them, if you do well this term at school and you bring home a good report, maybe with good marks on it or maybe with good behavior, whatever the issue is, then I will buy you a chocolate or something else that they really want. There's a condition attached. Of course, the kid only ever remembers that they will buy them a new bicycle or a slab of chocolate. They don't remember the condition that they have to work hard at school. But that promise came with a condition. And likewise, God promises us safety and security in Him, but we need to obey Him. And this is what Jeremiah then goes on to show the religious people that entered the temple on that day. My third and final comment. A true reaction by God. Look at verses 12 to 15. Jeremiah cites an example from their own history. He talks about the city of Shiloh. I don't know how familiar you are with your Old Testament history. Does anybody remember where and what Shiloh was and why Jeremiah cites that as an example? Well, let me refresh your memory. Shiloh was a few kilometers further north in the Northern Territories provinces, and it was the first place where God set up His dwelling for the people of Israel in this world, apart from the tabernacle, that is. But Shiloh was one of the permanent places before Jerusalem. It was where Samuel served the Lord. And due to the ongoing wickedness of the people of that time, God destroyed Shiloh because they failed to put their trust in Him. This was God's chosen city. God lived there in a sense in that His temple was there. And yet He destroyed it because of the wickedness of the people. In fact, if we go even further back in the history of Israel, which Jeremiah doesn't mention here, but during the time of the judges, they wanted to attack the Philistines, and God had said, no, you will not attack the Philistines. And they said, of course we can. So in order to try and win God's favor, you know what they did? They sent the priests out ahead of the army with the Ark of the Covenant and said, God will be with us because the Ark of the Covenant is here. And you'll remember what happened. That the Israelites were defeated, they ran off with their tails between their legs, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured, which represented the true presence of God. You see, friends, God doesn't stand on religious ceremony to rescue people. God won't rescue us because we sat in church on Sunday, the 29th of April, 2018. God will rescue us because we live for Him. Because He died on the cross for us. So I can study the Bible, and there was a guy in one of our churches years ago who studied the Bible intently. And he would often come and talk to me about it. But he did not believe what he studied. He had all sorts of other ideas. He was just studying the Bible as an intellectual thing, nothing more. So we can study the Bible intently. We can attend Bible studies. We can come to youth. We can serve in the church. But if we are not honoring God in the way we live our lives from Monday to Saturday, then why even bother coming to church? Because God is not going to withhold His judgment on you or I because we happen to be in church on a Sunday. We need to honor God in all we do. We need to live for God. Now let me just add one final comment here before we close things off. And that is to mention that all of us are sinners. We still sin in the eyes of God. Although we are forgiven, although God has dealt with our sin, all of us from time to time will catch ourselves doing something that God doesn't want us to do. Yes, I'm sure we have all stolen a pen. By accident, perhaps, but we have done it. Yes, we have thought bad things about somebody that we don't like. Yes, we have pushed God aside and gone and rather watched rugby or a movie or something. We all sin, friends. But what Jeremiah is talking about here is not those times where we catch ourselves sinning. Where we are, Lord, I'm so sorry, I've just said this or I've done that. Jeremiah's not talking about that. He's talking about our habitual sins. What the things that our culture says is right that we just go ahead and do anyway. Those are the things that he says we must stop doing. Well, of course, we need to try to work hard at stop sinning anyway. But it's those habitual things. When those things become part of our life. I worked with a guy once who claimed to be an elder in one of the churches in the area. And yet at work, he was the last person I thought would even go near a church. His mouth was as foul as a sewer. His behavior was well below the belt. And yet he claimed to follow God. That is the type of behavior that Jeremiah is speaking about here. There will be times when we realize that we have sinned and we need to ask God to forgive us. But there are other times when we deliberately do things, when we deliberately seek out the wrong thing, perhaps habitually, perhaps without even thinking of it. But friends, what Jeremiah is saying here, what the New Testament tells us time and time and time again, is that it's not okay to ignore God during the week and then hope for some good luck on Sunday when you come to church, as if God is some sort of lucky charm. So friends, where are you in this message of Jeremiah? Are you using God as some sort of happy life insurance? Or are you living for God? I think we all need help in this because we all do sin. But let's pray and ask God to forgive us for living without Him, for ignoring Him during the week, and then expecting Him to bless us on Sundays. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this challenging passage this morning. Lord, it just shows us that it's not right for us to ignore you through the week and then to come to you on a Sunday and think that we can claim your blessing. Lord, forgive us for thinking like that. Help us, Lord, to truly reform our ways and our actions. Help us, Lord, not to forget you in the week. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to honor you each and every day of our lives. Lord, help us, we pray. In your name, amen.